This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily.
Hello, this is Gordon Smith, and you're listening to the Sons of Melchizedek show. This is a priestly vocation interview show. Today, I have the vocation director for the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, Father Derek Aaron. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Gordon.
This is priestly vocation, so first, the first thing I always ask is, how do you prefer to be called, Father Derek or Father Aaron? How should I address you?
Well, I'd like to say answer to anything, but I typically go by Father Aaron.
Okay, Father Aaron it is. So, Father Aaron, how long have you been a priest?
I've been a priest since 2016, so a little over 7 years, 7.5 years.
And as I recall, you grew up in a family of all boys.
All boys, right? Yes.
In fact, I understand that you might have been the gift to the family.
You've got that right.
How did that work out?
Well, I guess we see it unfold still to this day. But yeah, I am the youngest of four boys.
So the gift comment, Father told me in the pre-interview that he has a few years between he and his nearest sibling. So the three older boys, one of which is a priest for the Lafayette Diocese as well. That's Father Sean Aaron. So I get it goofed up all the time. Father Sean used to be at John Vianney. He was at Louis de Montfort. Mm-hmm. And now he's up in Benton County. But he was the oldest, but he wasn't the first. Who was the first?
Father Sean is the first.
Who is the first priest?
Oh, the first priest in our family is my uncle.
Okay, you're not taking credit for anything here, Father. You were the first in your immediate family.
Oh, yeah, I guess I am the first priest, yes.
Wow, you are the gift, right?
That's right. Yeah, I am the first priest. So I have that seniority on him.
So you were a priest since June 11th of 2016, and I'm trying to get drilled down to a little bit of the background of why two boys in the family decided to become priests, and you were the first one to enter seminary, yeah. And I understand that was at Emmitsburg, right?
Yes, Mount St. Mary's.
So at what point in time in your life did you decide you wanted to become a priest?
Well, I had more certainty, Gordon, after I had been working for about 4 years in corporate America in Indianapolis. That's where my discernment really began to take root, and I took it more seriously. And I discerned for about a year and a half.
So where were you working?
I was working at General Electric Supply, and it's part of the whole General Electric umbrella, in the National Sales Center. So I was in electrical sales for domestic clients, and then also the international business.
So where did you go to undergrad, and what was your degree in?
Yeah, I went to Purdue University, spent 4 years there, and I studied, my degree was in communication, so specifically like marketing and advertising. And after college, I spent a summer doing, you know, public relations and marketing for an agency in Indianapolis. And then try to really figure out where I wanted to go from there. I always had this desire for sales. It was kind of not something that was really necessarily familiar to my upbringing, or you know, based upon our only familiarity was with a Chrysler and, you know, factory work and stuff like that. So,
That's your Kokomo background.
That's my Kokomo background. Yes,
right.
Yes.
Of course.
And yeah. So then I was able to land a job with General Electric, and really enjoyed it. And so it was about almost 4 years that I was there before entering seminary.
So back to the Purdue years, were you, you had a management degree or engineering?
No, it was just communication.
Communication.
Yeah. And liberal arts.
And so did you go to Thomas Aquinas Parish while you were up there? Or how was your Catholic faith doing at the time?
Yeah. You know, as with any college student, I think it ebbs and flows. It can be challenging.
Sure.
So I did, I was regularly attending St. Thomas Aquinas. And then on Thursdays, I remember Father Brian Doerr would come. He was the vocation director at that time. He would come to Purdue and lead a Bible study and have Eucharistic adoration and confessions. I went to the Bible study a few times, but I would say I was more regular at confession and adoration. So that was a wonderful gift, being in college and having that opportunity.
And yet you decided to go into the commercial business world in sales, and I would argue that you're still in sales.
Yeah. No refunds.
But a lot of satisfied customers.
That's right, exactly.
So you worked in the private world in sales in the GE world, corporate world. Something happened in your life. Were you dating at the time? How did that work out? While you were living in Indy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, post-college, I was dating. I didn't have a steady girlfriend or anything, but I was dating. And, you know, I enjoyed the corporate. There was a young office of younger professionals. So got to meet a lot of interesting people, and of which some of them I still keep in contact to this day. So, but during that time, my vocation to the priesthood, I think that it was a rediscovery of my vocation to the priesthood through young people. And so I was a parishioner at St. Elizabeth Seton in Carmel, and I helped start the Knights of the Holy Temple with Father Brian Dorr at St. Elizabeth Seton. And that was the young people there, of the Knights, the high school boys that had a great desire for the faith, you know, learning to pray, a love for the liturgy. And it was that kind of reinvigorated my desire for the priestly vocation. And so that's when I began to take it more seriously.
Was there a point in time, a particular person or somebody that said something that turned a corner for you? Or was it just the whole experience?
No, there was always something about the priesthood that I desired. I mean, I can remember pivotal moments of my life from second grade, first communion. I remember that very well, my first confession. There was always an attraction to the priesthood growing up. It was not abnormal for our family to have a priest at the dinner table. And so I really got to know priests. I got to experience the humanity of the priesthood. And I think it was easier for me to be able to look at that and say, could that be me? And so there were several things that happened throughout my life, being invited into Eucharistic adoration for the first time as a sophomore in high school. It was the first time I'd ever seen that.
In Kokomo.
And Father Dennis O'Keefe was the pastor then. And so we would serve the Thursday evening holy hour. And then Destination Jesus was a powerful experience for me with a focus on the Eucharist. And so that was pivotal. And that's actually where, when I rediscovered my vocation through young people, it was back before the Blessed Sacrament that it really kind of began to take root. And it allowed the silence to be able to kind of wrestle with the Lord a little bit as to, you know.
It involves prayer in front of the Eucharist, but silence also, as you just mentioned, and listening for what God's saying to you, right?
Yeah, because there's the power in silence, and that's where we hear God speaking to us. And it's okay to get uncomfortable with that, because I do get uncomfortable with silence, but that's where I am able to be able to hear what God is speaking and what his desires are.
So growing up in your family, I understand your father was a convert to the faith. He was not a cradle Catholic, Mike. And your mom was a cradle Catholic, Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of influence did they have on you? It sounds like you had the parish priest over. That might have been Father Rashek.
Father Rachek.
Yeah. Rachek, uh-huh. And it was, he came over for dinner a lot or occasionally?
Yeah, so Father Rachek was a dear family friend. He was at St. Joan of Arc in Kokomo in the maybe 1960s. So he knew my mom as a young girl, was close to my grandparents growing up. But since then, he had been in multiple different parishes, and he married my parents. And Father Rachek had just always been a dear friend, always been part of our life throughout growing up. And so it was, whether we were going to visit him or he'd come over, and it would be sporadically throughout the year, you know, it wasn't like every weekend or anything, but, It was a special moment to be able to have to welcome him at home. And we also had our just our parish priests, you know.
So it was nice to have a family where the priest was welcomed and your parents encouraged it. That's right. What I'm hearing from you. We're interviewing today Father Derek Aaron. He is a priest in the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. He's the vocation director. He's kind of doesn't have an actual parish assignment right now, so he helps out at Holy Spirit Geist, and he lives down at the rectory at John Vianney, right, Father?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about when you made the decision to go to seminary. You went to Mount St. Mary's and talked to Father Brian Doerr probably extensively prior to that. Were you just going to go for it, or did you have a year that you wanted to try it out? How did that work out?
Yeah, so it was a month before I went to the seminary in August of 2010 that I resigned from my job at General Electric, and so there was, I had 1 month, and it was a real change of pace, you know, from going from corporate America to the seminary life, and having been out of the academia for 4 years, so it was, there was some, definitely some challenges, as anybody would have going into the seminary, and I was pretty confident that that was where the Lord was leading me. Like, that's why I actually resigned and was resigned to go all in. And I remember having a conversation with Father Brian Doerr, and you know, that we sent to St. Minor at that time and also to Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And I knew I'm a homebody. So, you know, if there's a birthday or something going on, it would be easy for me to just drive up from St. Minard. And I said, you know, if I'm going to seminary, I need to go all in. And I feel like I need to go further away so I could really, you know, make a concerted effort to go all in. And so that's...
And Father Brian Doerr had been at Mount St. Mary's, right?
Well, he, after my first year, he came out to Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah. Okay. So you led the way
for him to come out there. Yeah. There's a trend here. Do you see that?
I see that. You're the gift. So Mount St. Mary's, and that's just an amazing place because of the history of the Catholic Church in that area. There's a shrine right across the street, as I recall, right?
Yeah, just down the road.
Mm-hmm. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton's shrine. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we're interviewing today Father Derek Aaron. Father Derek, I am going to ask you when we come back a little bit about your hobbies and your an interesting fact. I can't start the interesting fact here because it's just too much for the first half of the show. But I will say that I understand you're into bass fishing, hunting, cycling, and now, of course, you're a fisher of men.
Yes,
so
indeed.
Not just a fisher of bass.
Right.
I'm interviewing today Father Derek Aaron from the Lafayette Diocese, Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. He's the vocations director for the diocese. And he was just explaining a little bit about his hobbies, which include bass fishing, hunting, cycling. And I understand you like to work with your hands and do woodworking, work outside. Explain about that, Father.
Yeah. So I like to see the transformation in things. And I've always enjoyed refinishing furniture or refinishing old pieces of furniture, and also just landscaping, you know, cleaning up the landscaping and trimming trees and this and that. Because growing up, we had to do that stuff. In a home of four boys, we all had our tasks set for us. And from the age 10 until I was in middle of college at Purdue, I had my own kind of like mowing business. So at one time I had up to like 25 customers. So with a trailer and mowing equipment. So I've always enjoyed that. I don't get to mow the yards anymore, but if I ever do, I just enjoy it so much.
I have some lawn over at my house. If you're ever interested and need a Sunday off in the afternoon.
I don't push mow.
Now, you have an interesting fact that you said beforehand, and I hate to even let this one out because it's just too interesting to me. But the interesting fact is that you're an Elvis fan.
Yes.
And you were relaying to me before the interview here about a time when you were in high school, I think, and you were down at Castleton?
Middle school.
That's way back.
Sixth grade, yeah.
So you're down at Castleton Square, maybe in front of the what was then the Lazarus store.
Mm-hmm.
So Lazarus came back to life. And how did you come back to life that day?
Right. I don't know if it was came back to life, but it's close enough. So yeah, growing up, so my parents, we you know, it's all of us boys, we can sing any 50s and 60s song that you could play, because that was what we always listened to growing up. And so I just really enjoyed Elvis music. And there was this thing, the radio station was WKLR 93.1, and it was an oldie station. And they always had really interactive things that you could do and call in and sing and all this stuff. And so I noticed, I heard one time they were celebrating Elvis's birthday. So on January 8th is his birthday. And at Castleton Square Mall, they were hosting an event for just like Elvis impersonators and kind of like karaoke. And so I told my mom and my grandmother, dad wasn't able to go. And I said, I'd like to go, you know? And so I think mom had to go to the stores anyway, for some reason. And so we go down there and there's a big stage, and I didn't realize how, I mean, people were really dressed up like Elvis impersonators. And here I am with a sweatshirt and jeans and sneakers on. And so you would, you know, sign your name up, and I mean, there's a slew of people, and we were there for several hours, and they were celebrating with people. You know, you could sing whatever song you wanted. And then of course, you know, the peanut butter and banana sandwiches and things of like that were Elvis's favorite foods and stuff like that. And it's a slew of people. And so finally they called my name, and I stepped on stage. My heart was just racing, because I was like, what a fool. I don't know, I can't sing, so I got up there and sang Heartbreak Hotel, and it was kind of fun.
That's a great story. And I was telling you before the show, Elvis actually does a rendition of the Hail Mary, and I'll find that somewhere, and we'll air that for you. Okay, back to Emmitsburg. 6 years at Emmitsburg?
6 years, yes.
And that your entire time was spent at Emmitsburg. You didn't spend any time any other seminary or St. Meinrad?
Correct, yeah. All 6 years were there.
So what did you get out of that besides becoming a priest? What was a seminal moment at Emmitsburg? You were with priests and seminarians from all over the country there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I absolutely loved seminary. I knew it wasn't forever. I absolutely loved seminary. I appreciated every dimension of that, from the academic piece, learning about the faith, you know, study of philosophy, then theology. I mean, I just remember just my mind just being so opened up to hearing about the efficacy of the sacraments and the fulfillment of the new, you know, the old covenant and the new covenant. And it just was so all of that was powerful, spiritual dimension, my, you know, deepening my prayer life, spiritual conferences, spiritual direction, really good friendships established, and still continue on to this day. Everything about seminary, I really enjoyed. It was challenging. It was challenging because, you know, I'm trying to conform myself to the Lord's will. And so I have to really deny myself and to be open to, you know, the movement of where the Lord was wanting me to go. But it was a good challenge. And the other thing was I was able to be the chaplain for the men's and women's tennis team. So that's kind of the unique thing at Mount St. Mary's, where seminarians are chaplains to every athletic team at Mount St. Mary's. And so for 3 years, I was able to be the chaplain for the men's and women's tennis team, which, you know, varied from 15 to 20 students of multiple different backgrounds, some Catholics, some Hindus, some, you know, everything. And
no, wait a second. I'm not understanding. There was Hindus at Mount St. Mary's?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, explain that, because that is a surprise to me.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, at Mount St. Mary's, it was the undergraduate university. And so they have university students, undergraduate students of any faith background.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have assumed everyone there was Catholic.
No. So it's a variety of, you know, it's anybody can apply to Mount St. Mary's University. but I was at the seminary.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were a chaplain for an undergrad.
Undergrad
tennis team.
Tennis team. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
So there were some tennis heartbreaks that you had to do some counseling for. That seemed like an odd thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd go to the the tennis matches and the practices and things like that, and then also get to know the students one on one through meals, and then we did opportunities for during Advent and Lent and so they could choose to participate or not participate, and more times than not they were participating in Bible studies and things of that sort.
So it sounds like a theme I'm hearing here repeating. You were involved with the youth at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton when you were a parishioner there prior to seminary, mm-hmm. and then again with youth when you were as a seminarian, yeah. and you're still involved with youth as a vocations director.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's excellent. I think you have got the right personality for it. You've got the communications background, certainly. So, and you're now a salesman of and a fisher of men and women. So tell me a little bit about the sacraments. Let's talk about what your favorite sacrament to confer is.
Yeah. It's hard to say a favorite.
Well, you can say all of them if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fair answer is all of them. I would say the two that I really enjoy, and hands down, it's the celebration of the Mass is a wonderful prayer, and I celebrate Mass in multiple different locations too, and parish churches, but also in our summer camps and stuff like that. It's in a very unique location, and I've celebrated Mass in on my tailgate when I've taken guys camping and things like that. So in very unique locations and throughout the world. But also it's confession, because I know that those are two integral things that have been pivotal moments of my life encountering Christ. And so, Mass was a non-negotiable growing up, and I appreciate that from my parents. It was the pivotal moment of our family going to Mass. And as I began to know and understand what the Mass is, I understand why that was a non-negotiable. It was a place for us to be able to encounter the Lord, to worship together, and to be part of the faith community of the parish at St. Joan of Arc. And so, but also the Church Universal, but confession was always an integral part of being able to see that, to seek God's mercy. And because mercy is the form of love that enters into our misery. And I love that.
Now,
because
wait, let's say that one again.
Mercy is the form of love that enters into our misery. And wow. So God's mercy enters into the miserable parts of my life. And he transforms that, because he didn't create that. And so I think those are the two pivotal moments of the sacraments that I know through my own personal encounter have been pivotal in my life, but also in being able to confer and celebrate those sacraments with others. Of course, anointing of the sick has when I was, involved in parish life prior to the vocations office, that's always a beautiful gift to be able to anoint somebody, especially near the end of life.
Sure. Sure. Well, and you're acting in both those, all three senses in Persona Christi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an amazing thing that you can do that and extend God's mercy in that way. And I can't even imagine myself as a layman. I'll never be a priest like you. But the first time you held up the Eucharist during Mass for your very first Mass that you celebrated,
mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine holding Jesus in my hands in that way and the feelings that you must have had at the time.
Yeah. I remember when we would, have our Mass practicum, we never said the words of consecration because we weren't priests at that time. And so we never said those words of consecration.
That's interesting. I didn't ever put that together.
It's like when a couple is, we're doing a wedding rehearsal. You never exchange vows, until it's actually, because it's the words mean something.
Sure, sure.
And so that would have been at the it would have been at ordination, with the first times I would have prayed those words of consecration.
And what a powerful moment that was for you, and a miracle you perform or cooperate in performing for us. Thank you for your vocation, Father Derek Aaron. We really appreciate it. And this has been a pleasure meeting with you today, because it tells me that there's hope for our church, and there's hope to get new and young priests involved. Yes. And that's what we need.
Amen.
And you mentioned something a minute ago. It was the retreat. You want to go into that for just a minute? It's the youth retreat, and I can't even remember where it is.
Camp Crux.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, so Camp Crux is held every summer. It's diocesan-wide, and even, you know, outside of the diocese. But it is for middle school boys and girls, so incoming 6th, 7th, and 8th grade middle school boys and girls. And it's been going on for, since 2010, and but consecutively since 2021 that we've had boys and girls, and have had tremendous attendance, so we can take 80 middle school boys and 80 middle school girls, and they're held separate weeks. So the middle school girls is always the last week in June, and the middle school boys is always the second week in July. And it's held at the Valley in Kokomo. It's kind of just west of Kokomo in a town called Rushaville. And it's a property that's owned by Northview Church. And so we have the property for the entire month of June and July. So we have college-aged male and female counselors and our seminarians to help put this on, because it's there's a lot of work, but it's all about through the vision of John Paul II of coming to encounter God, coming to know God through the beauty of outdoors, prayer, friendship, and that's what we do. It's all those outdoor adventures and being able to encounter God through that, and how apply those challenges and graces to our own life, but also to our life with the Lord, and everything's focused on the Eucharist. So the chapel has the Blessed Sacrament in there, and it's at the center of the property.
That's and apropos.
We have outdoor masses and different things like that.
Today we've been interviewing Father Derek Aaron. He is a priest in the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. He's also the vocations director. That's why we're talking about the Crux. We want to thank you today for your vocation. Thank you for your time in this interview and the Sons of Melchizedek program. And we will talk to you later, Father.
All right. Thank you.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.